Hello, I'm Elizabeth, an obsessive backyard gardener who might be able to offer you a couple of tips.
And I'm Keith, a landscape consultant, and I'm also passionate about gardening.
The one thing we both have in common is
muddy boots.
We are 3 weeks into autumn and I am personally very excited to be saying goodbye to summer. What about you?
Well, I look at it from the moon calendar's perspective and I say, well, we're not really into autumn yet. The autumn actually starts at the autumn equinox,
Yes, what date?
The 20th.
You know what? You know that today is March the 26th, don't you? So yeah. I think autumn's begun.
Oh, well,
don't you think? Okay, so we're not 3 weeks into it, we're 6 days into it.
Okay.
It seems to be stretching itself summer anyway because it's still really hot. Mm-hmm. Well, it has been really hot. Once those hot days disappear, we'll be able to get outside. We'll be really able to enjoy working in the garden again and get it ready for the cooler months.
Mm-hmm.
And there are plenty of jobs waiting to be done, aren't there?
There are lots and lots and lots.
Okay, so the first thing I do, Keith, when I'm in, you know, usually at this time of the year in our garden, when I have one, because I don't really have one at the moment, is tidy up old spring and summer growth.
Yep.
Things like removing any annuals that have finished flowering, pruning perennials like hydrangeas, salvias, lavender, catmint, all of those sort of things. All of those prunings then go into the compost bin to help make nutritious compost.
Yep.
And if you don't have a compost bin, they can be left to slowly decompose and return to the soil.
Or you can just chuck them on your lawn and hit them with a mower.
There.
Run over them.
That's right, and that's really good for it as well.
Absolutely.
Adds all that nutrition to the soil there. What are you pruning right now?
Well, I've gone through and had a look at some of my fruit trees. So the espaliered apples, for instance, and the espaliered citrus, I've gone through and given those a bit of a tidy up. You always summer prune, if you've got espaliered apples, you summer prune those to get off the any of the upright growth. So you cut that right back.
So you've done that.
So I've done that, anyway. Yes. Yep. So and then you go through and have a look at all my perennial plants. Just go through and just take the dead heads out of those. So they don't look ratty, I guess. That's more than, you know, the best way to sort of look at that.
So it's not heavy pruning time. It's just a light tidy up.
A very light tidy up.
A tidy clean up time. Yep. This is also a great time to give the soil a boost after everything it's been through over summer.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do that, Keith? And in both the garden and the veggie beds.
Right, the way that I do it is using the old broad fork. I think that's probably one of the best tools that you'll ever come across for getting goodness down into the soil and for opening up the soil. So an FD Ryan 7-tine or a 5-tine broad fork. I wish I'd got the 5-tine now.
Why?
Well, the 7's getting a bit big
wide
for me, a bit vigorous.
A bit heavy.
Heavy, yeah. So,
okay.
But, you know, putting that in the ground and then rocking it backwards and forwards, and then when you get it down deep enough, just pulling it back, you're just lifting all that soil up. You're allowing the air and the moisture to get down because we haven't had rain for a fair amount of time, and any rain we get now, you want it to ensure that it's going to get down to that soil. And the other thing that I do with the broad fork, after I've done the broad fork, I generally go around with some rooster booster or lignite humate or compost and throw that down and then just wash it into those beautiful big deep tine holes that we've created.
Now, if you're putting that into the garden beds with all your plants, you've got to be pretty careful around the roots of the plants, haven't you?
You do. So for this time of the year, you really should be thinking about having a liquid fertiliser, putting that through rather than something that's going to be worked into the soil.
What do you mean? So you've put your broad fork in, you've done that carefully around your plants.
Yep.
And what sort of liquid fertiliser?
So something like Power Feed or Charlie Carp
are
great products to give that little bit more stimulation. You want to be seeing if you can just get a little bit more out of those plants before the onset of winter and they start to slow right down or even go into dormancy.
So we can put the lignite humates in or the compost and also do the Power Feed or some sort of liquid fertiliser at the same time.
Yep.
Okay, fantastic. Now, should we be giving special attention to their really – or you mentioned the citrus, you were pruning the citrus, but we should be giving a bit more attention to those sort of heavy feeding plants at the moment as
well.
Yes,
you should. And, you know, a good organic citrus fertiliser, there's a few of them out there in the market. And it won't be at the big green warehouses. These are – more specific types of organic citrus fertilizers by created by smaller companies.
Okay.
Like. I think there's John's or something else. It's a guy's name. Do you remember?
Harry's or Harry's? Harry's?
Harry's citrus, yeah, citrus fertilizer.
Food. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I haven't used it myself, but I've heard that that's a really, really good one. And of course, they're such heavy feeders.
Nutrog? Haven't Nutrog got some good?
They've got a citrus, yeah. Yeah. I'm just trying to think what it's called.
It's called Gigantic. Is it?
Is it? Oh, okay.
Oh, you're having
I'm having a seniors moment day today.
Harry's citrus food or Nutrog Gigantic, I think. Well, yeah, but that, yeah, I think that's the two gigantic. Really good ones that we could use. Okay, what is going on in the vegetable garden right now? What's finishing up and what are you planting?
Okay, what's about to come out are the tomatoes. They're just about finished there. So their little crop.
End of March. This is the right time now. Yeah, yeah.
So they've just about finished totally. So they'll be coming out of my garden the next few days. I'm letting them sit there for a little bit longer, trying to squeeze out a few more red ones to make it a little bit more passata.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's it. So in the actual beds themselves, of course, I've got Brussels sprouts, and they're coming on beautifully because you've got to get your Brussels sprouts into the soil in February so that you can be harvesting, you know, July, August, June, July, August.
Yummy.
You've got to go in very early.
Yummy.
And then, of course, I've just recently planted garlic. That's a great crop to get in a little bit early.
Okay.
And if people are listening from the hotter climes, then make sure you plant your garlic cloves deeper than you would here down in Victoria. We plant our cloves down about 50 millimetres, where you've got lots and lots of hot temperatures. Best to double that and go down to 100 mil and put your cloves down the bottom. Yep. It just gives them a much better chance of establishing themselves before they start put their leaves up through the surface.
Okay. Are you saving any seeds or are you leaving any plants in the garden to self-seed? Do you ever do that?
No, I don't self-seed except for my rocket. I let that come and go all the time. I've just saved some baby sunbeam seeds, so I've let the actual bean plants dry out totally in the beds, so they're sucking all the goodness out, waiting for them to totally dry out, and then I pulled those up and then divided out the pods and spit out the beans and put those into a paper bag with a silica gel in there to keep the moisture out, and then they've gone into the fridge. So they're all ready to go for next year, and I've actually sent some off to some people that follow me way up in northern New South Wales, so they've got some baby sunbeams up there. Yeah, so it's great
so
to share.
It's about sharing, exactly.
It is about sharing.
Sharing seeds, that's fantastic. Now, our vegetable garden is one area that is definitely ready for planting, and you very kindly gave us a variety of chili plants last week, which are growing very happily in their new beds. What else do you suggest we should be planting right now?
Okay, rather than looking at putting in brassicas at the moment, I'd suggest that you start sowing seeds for all your brassicas.
Okay.
So your seeds, your collies, your cabbages, your broccoli, all those sorts of things. So start sowing seeds for those now, because they're best to go in a little bit later when they're a bit bigger, because if you put them in now as seedlings, you're going to be out there with a fly swatting away those white cabbage butterfly things, you know, those horrible white things.
Yeah, I do.
Because they'll just decimate your actual plant. So I always sow my brassicas later on so that they've got a good chance to be actually, you know, pest-free without any aphids or butterfly caterpillars and all this sort of rubbish.
So we should be sowing, excuse my voice, we should be sowing seeds into our little pots,
little paper pots are great.
And putting them in our greenhouse, which we don't have. Put
that's
them
all right.
Inside.
You can buy a little greenhouse from Bunnings or anywhere else.
That's true. We could buy a little mini one. That's true. Okay, that's something we should think about. Okay, dividing and propagating plants from cuttings can be done now. Division is done easily by gently lifting the plant from the soil, dividing at the roots, and then replanting and watering in well.
Yes.
There is a long list of perennials that can be divided, such as Japanese windflowers, dahlias, salvias, sedums, ornamental grasses. What else? What else can you think of that we can divide? And this is the right time to do that.
Well, if you've got something like an oak leaf hydrangea, they're fantastic to actually go and you know, divide those, because you can actually get quite a lot of cuttings off those.
Well, any type of hydrangea. Well,
any type.
Yeah. The macrophyllas, obviously, you can.
Yep. Okay. But the oak leaf hydrangea is great if you've got a nice sharp knife and just go through and just cut off half the plant or a quarter of the plant and then pot it up. And it's a great time to be doing that now.
Yeah, and that is very easy. Can you give us a quick lesson on propagating? Oh, you just talked about the hydrangeas, mm-hmm. but what about something like a salvia?
Salvias. Well, once again, you can do root division of salvias rather than cuttings.
Okay.
If you've got a big enough one, they're very, very easy to actually get a knife down there and cut and divide them the same way as you do a hydrangea.
Yep.
Failing that, then if you take the top 100 mil of the actual plant off, cut that off, but cut it just below a set of leaves or a set of nodes.
Yep.
And then you need to dip that into a rooting hormone powder.
Or honey.
Or honey is even better because that's a natural antibiotic.
Yep.
So dip those in and then put them into a nice open sort of growing medium. Something like a mix with a bit of perlite or sand or something. Or even, if you like, you can just stick them into a little thing of water. And they will develop
and watch,
their root system in the water, and you can see that
roots
happening.
Grow. That's a bit of fun doing
so
it that.
So all
way.
Those sorts of things can be actually done now, including azaleas and rhododendrons. They can be all propagated exactly the same way.
It's such a great idea because you can save money, you can share with friends. It's fun and it's satisfying to watch.
And of course, the ornamental grasses. A great time to be cutting those back and dividing those up. So, I can see a whole backyard of them from here that were all done that way.
That's right, exactly. Beautifully done by you. Thank you very much. And we've got them growing amazingly in the back garden. So we cut them back to how far back do you cut those ornamental grasses to?
If you're going to be cutting them back so that you're going to divide them, then I wouldn't cut them back any further than about 200 mil off the ground.
Okay.
They've still got to have a little bit of life and a little bit of green in those stems and so forth so that they can then be opened up and they've got energy and storage to put a new root system on.
And if we're just cutting them back to keep them in the ground, though, do we wait until winter to do that?
Wait until they've gone totally dormant.
Okay.
And the beauty about those sorts of grasses is you can create a mulch from those that will last for years and years and years.
Fantastic.
And the best way to do that is whether I use a pair of electric shears, electric hedge cutters or whatever, and just keep on slicing it down all the way down to almost the very, very ground itself.
Okay.
And then just cut that up and spread it around and it's a fabulous mulch.
Fantastic idea, Keith. Thank you very much. Okay, now the lawn. Mm-hmm. What maintenance does it need at this time of the year?
With lawn, once again, a broad fork, going around with a broad fork will keep that moisture down and allow air and everything else to get down there, allow the earthworms and the microbes to get down nice and deep. It'll encourage deep roots for lawns, providing you're keeping the grass on top nice and high.
Yes.
So, for instance, my lawn at the moment is cut on the second highest height on the mower, and that will stay that way right until spring.
Mm.
So I keep the grass nice and long all the way through until spring.
Yep.
And giving it a feed now is a great thing just to force that grass along with a little bit of extra tucker.
Okay, so, what tucker?
I always just use Rooster Booster.
Okay.
You know, it's a great product from Nutrog.
Yep.
It's a lot cheaper than Dynamic Lifter.
Yep.
It's a bigger bag than Dynamic Lifter, and it goes further.
That's what we want then.
That's exactly
Nutrog's
what we want.
Nutrog's Rooster Booster. Okay, it might seem a little early to be planning the spring garden, but it's not. This is the time to be planning and planting spring bulbs, either in the garden or in pots. Things like daffodils, hyacinths, freesias, jonquils, Dutch irises, etc., etc. Here's a little tip too when planting. Bulbs don't mind being crammed in quite close together and look so much better when planted en masse, don't you think?
They look fabulous, yeah.
Rather than spaced widely apart where, it looks a bit sort of average. You could plant some violas or alyssum in the garden or the pot to give it interest through winter while waiting for those bulbs to appear. What do you think?
Looks great.
Looks great. There
looks
you go.
Looks great.
Looks great. Thanks, Keith. Thanks for that addition. Autumn leaves can be a bit of a pain to deal with, but they make a great carbon material for the compost bin.
Mm-hmm.
Just pile up the leaves and alternate them with a layer of green material like grass clippings and fruit and vegetable scraps and let it break down over winter. Alternatively, they can be shredded and spread over the garden beds like we were just sort of talking about as mulch to help stop those pesky weeds from taking over.
Exactly. And if you're going to compost leaves such as
Yeah.
Oak leaves, for instance, and they make a fabulous compost at the end of the day. Mm. But if you're going to use oak leaves for your compost, when you put them in, I would suggest you put a light little covering of lime over the top.
Right.
Because oak leaves are deficient in calcium. Yeah. So by adding calcium, you'll help to break those leaves down more quickly.
Okay,
oak and they leaves. Make a fabulous compost.
Anything else other than oak leaves that need that bit of
Yeah, some of the liquid ambers are that problematic, and also pear leaves.
All right.
They need a little bit of additional food as well.
We don't have any of those, so I don't have to worry about that. Okay, I can't think of, I don't know if you've thought of anything else, but I was going to say last of all, don't forget to enjoy this glorious time of the year when so much of the garden turns to various shades of yellow, orange, red, burgundy, all those colours. Perhaps the best lesson our gardens can teach us is to remember to enjoy them in the present, even while making plans for what they may become in the future. Thank you for listening to Muddy Boots. For more information on today's podcast, please go to muddyboots.net.au, and happy gardening.